And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Well, I'm a grass-eating robot at Le Chateau du Versailles. I don't know jack about Dickens 1789, because my only revolution is play 6 degrees. I'm a grass-eating robot and I do what I please.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, May 4th. Happy Star Wars Day, you dweebs. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
What are you, LeBron James? So mean.
I think that's why I had dweebs on the top of my head. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, who told me before the show he does not celebrate Star Wars Day, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Hey, yo.
I'm sorry. I should have checked with all of you before I had said that. We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last, certainly not least, I know he celebrates Star Wars Day. Yeah, super producer, JD.
Hello, you're going to hate Tweet of the Night, Trey. You're going to hate
Oh, no.
Well, you might not hate
Maybe I'll convert.
May the Force be with you, everybody. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Hit that like button, that little thumbs up. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and comment away in the stream team or in the comment section below the vid. Send in your questions, in your comments. Anything about the NBA and the playoffs, or really about anything in life, to nodunks@theathletic.com. We're hitting the beach on Friday, a little beach stepping fun. So you have a few days to get those cues in. How's the batch looking, Tass? Have you
You're
made
really
a
good?
You done a quick pass? Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking good? Strong?
Yeah, I've had the ability to be pretty cutthroat in terms of my
so
curation.
Many good cues.
Yeah, because we haven't done males in.
I don't know, six weeks, seven weeks, eight weeks.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good batch. Probably our best male show of all time.
Probably.
Of all time. We've got some good ones, too. So bar is raised for Friday's Drop Podcast.
Bring your really best answers and also leave some reviews on our Apple Podcast page, because it will be Five Star Friday as well.
Oh my God.
I do celebrate Five Star Friday. Yeah.
Oh, so we're really merging a drop with beach stepping, I guess. Are we doing rapid fire? Yeah, we got some decisions.
Yeah, we just got. It's just going to be asking questions. For 90 straight minutes.
Okay.
And an NHL recap, of course, because there are no basketball games Thursday night.
Congrats on your Calgary Flames.
Yeah, how about that Matthew Tkachuk, if that's how you say it. Dad Keith must be proud.
Wow.
Nice. He set up Elias Lindholm for a quick one-timer.
Oh, yeah?
What a great name, eh? Elias Lindholm.
Big time.
Big slapper. 1-0.
Flames. 1-0. Catch any hockey last
time? No, I didn't. I did see the Flames. I've got a Flames hat. I should have bought it. Man.
Should
have. I was supposed to go to the Flames Oilers. A big
tilt.
Canceled, man.
Big tilt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they play later this week, so you still have time to find the hat and wear it. It'd be great to see you in here in the Classic Factory rocking a Calgary Flames hat.
Especially now
you can wear the jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big Flames heads.
Yeah, man. Let's talk basketball, though, because we are. There's a fly.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's a Philadelphia Flyer.
Oh, jeez. I'm just like, somebody's going to get like the debate fly that it's going to land on their head. It's going to be really weird. Basketball. We're all tied up in these series last night. We'll start in the West. Ja Morant, man, holy crap, scoring 47 points. Grizzlies tied up with the Warriors, like I said, at one game apiece. Physical play to start, some things to talk about there. But really, Ja, I think, Tass, is probably where you're going to start with the ending.
Let's start.
Yeah,
let's start there. This is why basketball is the best. Because
better than hockey.
I would say so. Because a great game live, I'd say hockey. Anyways, we'll talk about the NHL later in the week. Basketball is the best because a team game, of course, has to get a team to the fourth quarter. But in crunch time, one person can take over unlike any other sport. And that's what John Morant did. Scoring the last 15. Because he wanted to, on a night when his team was struggling and couldn't get him over the line. We saw Jaren Jackson only hit 3 shots out there, fouled out of the game. Desmond Bane not looking like himself at all, hit only 2 shots. Dylan Brooks ejected in the first 3 minutes. In fact, the other 4 starters scored barely half of what Ja Morant did in this game. They couldn't hit shots, so Ja put up 47 and 15 in the last few minutes when he just said, all right, this is my time to shine. It was awesome. 420. He made up for that miss at the end of game one, sort of, because it was the exact same sort of scoop shot past Klay Thompson with the left. 330 the next time down. He was forced right by Wiggins because everybody's saying, you got to force the guy right. They forced him right. He went back left and was able to score. Yeah. Step back three on the next possession. Yeah. One of five threes on the night for John Morant, which is part of the Warriors' game plan. Force him to hit threes. He's doing it right now. Next time down.
That was the one where he had it, gave it up, because he got Klay switched on him, right? And then got it back and splashed the three as the shot clock expired.
That was a mean three.
Yeah.
And then he got Poole on an island, although there are no pools on islands.
Don't need it. You got him surrounded by water.
Crossover, and the half spin comes back, and Poole had his back to Ja Morant. That was mean. And then he went left on Wiggins, which everybody was saying he carried it. Yeah, he did. But I don't think that really factored into the way he shot it over Andrew Wiggins anyways. Wiggins was right there, and he was their option on him after Gary Payton II went out. It didn't really matter. This was just Ja Morant's night. And I think the Warriors have a lot of good things going forward for them. But this was Ja's night, and that's why it's been Ja's season. And that's why LeBron was calling people dweebs on the internet last night, because he said Ja Morant shouldn't be part of the most improved player conversation.
He's right.
All these dweebs who don't watch basketball but vote. I don't know. I didn't really follow the logic. Anyways, I get it. He's a superstar, and he's not the most improved. 47-8-8. That's why basketball's great. That's why it's a little better than hockey.
I mean, Tass is totally right. Just look at what happened with Igor Shesterkin last night. A historic 79 saves, but the Rangers still didn't win.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in basketball.
Standing on your head, man. 79 saves.
Wow. Were you upset that Tass didn't include the four free throws that Ja Morant made down the stretch,
too? Yeah,
I'm just wondering.
Were they four or three?
Yeah, well, he four, right? Yeah. Because he had between two of the shots, the final one where he maybe got away with the carry, he hit two at the line, and then he finished it off with two more to ice it. Yeah.
I mean, he was unbelievable, Morant, last night. This honestly reminded me a little bit like LeBron's game against the Pistons that time, where he had the 27 down the stretch there, where not that he was hitting those, just LeBron was hitting every bomb, but the fact that he was like, no one else has really got it tonight, I'm just going to go in. There's still something unbelievable about that herky-jerky, it looks like he doesn't know what he's doing, but he sort of turns it into a play and it's like, oh, okay, that's what he was trying to do.
I've heard people compare it sort of like he almost looks like a running back at times, where it's like Barry Sanders, like where he like goes into a bunch of bodies and then suddenly it spits out and like emerges, and he somehow does that. Well, he slithers around
and he flicks the ball and he loops it up and he lays it off the backboard, and it's like, that can't be like just improvised like that. But it kind of is, but it kind of isn't, because we've seen him do that for so many for his career already so far. But to do this when the Warriors got the lead there, and it looked like there's no way the Grizzlies are going to come back, because they didn't have that second star. I thought Zaire Williams was maybe their second best player there last night, hitting threes.
Clutch.
Because they didn't really get it from anybody else. But then Klay Thompson, I mean, he's just completely stinking the joint up right now, which is why. I mean, he missed the whole everything on one shot, and he clunked another couple out there. He traveled as well on one. And
unfortunately, looks slow on defense.
Oh,
he's big time.
He's looking really out of touch. He finishes 5-for-19 there. So Steph had to sort of carry a bit of load there, but, you know, he didn't have an efficient night. So this is a massive win for the Grizzlies, because as it was closing, as I said, I thought the Warriors are just going to grind this one out. Draymond got an unlucky call there as well, where he got a foul on...
it was a rebound.
Yeah, who was that on? That was on Ja Morant, actually. Yep. Yeah, now Morant sold it. And Draymond's got a point there. It's like, come on, man, we're contesting, and the guy just fell down. He sold it, but he did. You get the call, and that was a huge play. Mm-hmm. So, look, the Warriors ultimately get the split, which the road team should do, especially when you're the underdog, you know, in the
seeding.
But they're going to have to do it without Gary Payton, because he's going to be out for some time, and Dylan Brooks was deservedly ejected. I think he should get suspended too. That was one of the stupidest plays I've seen. There was never anything other than just stupidity on his mind. And get him out of there. Like, that's... I'm with Steve Kerr 100%. That's not tough. That's dirty.
Yeah, he was fuming. Yeah. You could tell. He's like, Greenberg was asking him questions. He's like, I would rather talk about how they keep injuring all of our players, which, honestly, fair enough to him, because it kind of played out what Steve Kerr was saying a little bit later on, because you could tell that the Warriors were missing having Gary Payton II out there, or maybe, I guess, Iguodala would be another guy who would possibly take a chance on Ja. But when you have to have Steph Clay and Poole out there at the end of the game, and with Clay not being able to move right now, not looking like the Clay Thompson defensively that we've seen earlier in his career, it was pretty easy for Ja, and the Warriors made it a little too easy for him. I think, like, I would have been doubling Ja Morant every single time he was trying to go to the lane or something like that, because obviously Bane is not looking right as well. He's had a pretty poor series and just is not moving well. Got some nice threes for sure from Zaire Williams last night. Those were a huge found money for the Grizzlies, but I would say anybody else except for Ja should be beating you in the fourth quarter, but he scored the last 15. Mm. Something should have changed down the stretch. I don't know what it would have been with no Gary out there, but two, three people, guard him the way Steph Curry's been guarded for his whole career.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Were you surprised by that? Because it really was like super switch, whatever he wanted, Ja Morant, and then he was driving, and it wasn't like a... I mean, the help would come in the paint, but it's like it was too late by then. Just run a second guy at him. None of these other guys, besides Williams hitting some threes like early there in the fourth, which were big, don't get me wrong, but like, I'll live with him taking another one. Anybody but
Yeah,
Ja,
I wonder if we're saying that a little bit after the fact here, after he had such a special performance there to drop 47. I know the Warriors don't have... I mean, it's like nobody can guard this guy one-on-one. I mean, that's what it comes down to in the NBA. And he has to score in the paint. That's where he scored more than half his points. He was the leader in points in the paint this season among every player, including bigs. Mm-hmm. I think really how you stop this guy isn't necessarily a wing. Andre Iguodala is going to come back in game two. He's going to blow by him. I think they just need more length closer to the rim, I think, and just pray. I think Kevon Looney probably starts in the place of Gary Payton II just to have, you know, their regular lineup out there with him and Draymond Green being in the lane. That's how you stop him. And look, it's a little Giannis-esque. You just hope he misses threes. And that's part of it. I mean, he's been scorching. He's 39% to start this series, 5 of 12 in game two, 4 of 11 in game one. I think it's length, really. You just can't guard anybody one-on-one on the perimeter.
That's why they should double-team him.
Yeah,
I guess, to get it out of his hands.
Yep.
Then you make everybody else a weapon, but yeah, I know people are struggling.
They haven't been weapons so far, I would say, is the main thing. Like, Bane is their second guy, their most reliable player outside of Ja, and he doesn't look right at all. He has a lower back injury. He barely should have been out there, it looked like, last night, and his... You know, I mean, maybe that gets, if you're the Warriors, you're a little worried that untracks Bane and he gets some easy threes, but you can't just do the same thing again. So I think we will see some sort of change, especially knowing that Gary's not going to be back.
Mm. Yeah, that was crazy. Obviously, it's really when he fell to the ground. It looked like for a second, it was like, did he break his wrist or did he break his arm, his elbow there? Because they both obviously took a lot of the brunt of the fall. Do you agree with Lee that Dylan Brooks should be suspended for game three?
Yes.
You think he will?
I thought
Do you
so.
Think
before
will?
Before okay. the injury status came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
whack a guy like that. Like,
yeah, it's a way different category than Draymond Green's flagrant two in game one. It's in the family of injuring a guy. It's different than Draymond. Draymond Green was, you know, squared up on a guy in front of him, swatting down towards the ball, even though he missed by a mile and hit Brandon Clark's head. This Ja Morant, I'm sorry, the Dylan Brooks thing is from behind, a guy who's moving quickly. We've talked about it for years. This is, it's the family of injury possibility. And so even if he wasn't injured, I think it should get him a game. Okay. And I don't know if the injury increases it. But I think he'll be suspended.
Yeah, I think some people think he may not get a game just because he went out basically for this entire game. Because it was so early into the game, so it was almost like it was a game two suspension. I'm just saying, I've seen that thrown around. I don't know what the league will do with this one, to be honest. Whether they'll give him a game.
Yeah.
I mean, the flagrant two, obviously the correct call. Even the Grizzlies.
That was a flagrant like, three, pretty much.
Right, they're like, all right, you can't even make a case that it's no flagrant one or it's just a hard playoff foul. It's like, no, he's airborne.
He's chasing down.
You're totally just wiling at his head. But I don't know if he'll get the game three suspension. We'll find out in the next couple. Well, they don't play till what? Saturday. So they've got days to look at it over and over and over again and make a decision.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll see. But I think just because he was from behind there like that, like you mentioned with Draymond, was more sort of right in the spur of the moment. Brooks had time to at least sort of track him down and get him. So that's where I think this one's different. Yeah. But just one other quick thing here. The Grizzlies need to get something more out of Jaren Jackson too so far, fouling out again there last night. Started off right, hit a couple of threes, but he's got to stay on the court and he's got to be way more important for them because they're missing him, I think, right now. Even, again, they win. Game one was they could be up 2-0 in the series, but they can't. He's got to be better and staying on the court.
I don't know. I don't think the Warriors really changed much with Ja. I know it sounds crazy, but it, to me now, thinking about it a little more, it's sort of like Luka with the Mavs. Just try and restrict everybody else. And I know it came down to this, but the Warriors also shot 18% from three. They couldn't hit
wide open threes.
They couldn't hit a stinky three. So I know that the Payton injury looks bad and it's prominent right now, but they've also played a lot of guys this season. And so I think that they have options of throwing plenty of guys in, whether it's Kevon Looney, whether they play Otto Porter, Kuminga, Damian Lee could easily start. So I kind of think, even though this sucks for Gary Payton II, this is his first playoffs in this league, and he shot the free throw after getting bopped there. It was very tough. I think the Warriors can recover a little bit more easily than the Grizzlies, who, Desmond Bane's back doesn't look all that good. The Warriors, they're happy to be where they are, although they're very pissed at the same time that their guy went down like that.
Yeah, it was 89-89 with like 6 minutes to go, and then you guys said it, like the Warriors were up like four pretty late in this game. Did you think they were winning it?
The Warriors.
They're going absolutely up 2-0 in the series. I mean, John Morant really just saved the series. That's what he did here.
And that's the thing. Some of the shots he hit, those threes and going in, I'm just like, they're not going to drop, and they just keep on going in. It's just like, you just don't expect from such a young guy to have that composure where, he walks the ball up, he's waiting, and then he goes in and he spins and twists and drops guys and then just floats it in. You're like, okay.
That's what Jim Jackson said on the call. After the biggest highlight, I think, to me, was the second quarter hanging in the air.
Oh, yeah,
highlight
crazy.
Right at the end of the first half. I think that's the one we'll remember the most from this game, actually. And Jim Jackson on the replay, he said, okay, roll the replay. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That was his response. How do you describe what he's doing?
Jim Jackson loves a pregnant pause. He loves to let the play speak for itself. He also loves a cigar bar. That comes up in every broadcast. He's found the local cigar bar. That's how he keeps that voice so...
I love these two together.
They're great,
sure. Like, I love... I have it in my like random notes, but Eagle Yelling Kuminga is a great just name for Eagle to really lean into. It sounds like a superhero word that would pop up like after a punch or something. Yeah. Like Kuminga, he just loves screaming it, and he's good at it. I will say too, a couple hustle plays from the Grizzlies down the stretch. Like John Morant really did save the series, I think he did. But Melton's block on Curry, that layup floater. I know Curry, I think, was saying, "Hey, come on!" But I think he got that right at the apex. Yeah. That was huge. Zaire Williams grabbing a big offensive rebound with a minute to go. That was just massive, like little plays like that. And then the John Morant one where, he's fighting for the offensive rebound, I think sold the contact from Draymond, but big because it results in free throws. And then the Warriors, it was funny. Like, this is such a young Grizzlies team. There were times down the stretch where if you didn't really know their ages, you'd be like, which is the immature team? Like, which is the team that maybe hasn't been here a lot and hasn't gone through these reps? And I think you would have maybe thought it was the Warriors. They had some sloppy turnovers, I think they maybe thought they had it right where they wanted them, but they didn't execute it down the stretch and just missed shots too.
Speaking of ages, how old do you think Otto Porter is?
Otto Porter, man.
Drafted.
He's probably younger than I think. He's 29?
Yeah, something like
that. 28. Yeah.
28, sure. Yeah, but he looks a lot older.
He feels like one of those old dudes in the league,
Like, the Wizards will age him.
Yeah. He was actually okay for them, I thought, last night.
The board hoarder.
Yeah. It's right. He had another 9 there last night, 3 on the offensive end. Interesting series. I mean, Klay Thompson, he's going to be way better. He just is in Oakland or San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen him these shots are just missing by a mile,
They are.
Like, that's very unusual. And, he's had enough time. We've seen him through the regular season now play enough games where the reps are in there. So something was just off for him, especially last night.
It's got to be infuriating for this guy, too, who as a kid once dreamed he would hit 7 of 10 shots and is super.
That's why you dream 7 of 10. That's right. You take 7 of 10 last night.
I'm just telling you. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm guessing he had the same dream that I had. But no, I'm with you. Like, you can tell every miss that he has. Like, he, I mean, it's Klay Thompson. So he's like, well, the next one I'm taking is going in.
Oh, for sure.
The math says it. And it's just like, it's like compounding. And he's like, he's, it's amazing to say this with him because his release is ridiculously fast. He's rushing shots, I think, too.
He feels a little sped up to me.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, he hasn't played for such a long time. And he obviously hasn't played in the playoffs now for three seasons. But he looks rushed. I mean, he missed two free throws at the end of game one. That was weird. But then he came back and hit the biggest three of the game. I thought he was going to make a huge three in this one as well. It obviously didn't go that way. As for highlights we're going to remember from this game, the Andrew Wiggins dunk is
huge.
I don't know if it's the best of his career. He's had some really good dunks on Gobert. He got Omer Asik once upon a time. But two hands down the lane? That was incredible. And then he was like swearing afterwards. I was like, who is this guy? That was a monster jam from Wiggins.
Yeah, it is fun kind of watching Wiggins. I know fun and Wiggins don't usually go hand in hand, but he's playing huge. He's playing like a big guy out there. And he said, I feel athletically like I can hang with anybody, any big out there, and they desperately need his rebounds with how small they're playing. So he's just aside from the dunk, he's just playing big. And then, everybody's swearing on the Warriors. There's a lot of swearing going on. Even Kerr said.
This is an angry series.
Yeah.
You know, I was jawing too afterwards at Steph, just saying, it's going to be a fun series, he said, or something, because Steph said the same thing to him after game one. That's all he said.
Nobody forgets anything that anybody says. Yeah. They file it away and they'll pull it back out. It's a best of five series now. I love Ziller's line in his newsletter this morning from this game. This game proves once and for all that Canadians are not preternaturally nice. We had a Canadian dunking viciously on a fellow Canadian, because that was Wiggins on Clark.
Clark went flying.
Staring him down. Yeah, he went flying.
He went flying.
And then Wiggins stared him down. And then, of course, we had another Canadian in Dylan Brooks, who I've always said is like the least Canadian of all time, breaking a dude's elbow, which he did, and we'll find out if he gets suspended. Yeah. So,
have you seen Canadians on the ice?
Oh, yeah.
They hammer each other, although hitting is down in the neutral zone. A lot of calls. There's the freedom of movement happening in the NHL. Goal scoring is up. Go check it out. Great game. Although I didn't watch it last night. But I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I tried to during the TNT halftime. I said, if you guys are bored, there's a double overtime game happening in hockey right now.
I saw that.
But then Pedro Martinez, Curtis Granderson, and who's the...
Jimmy Rollins.
We're playing 3-on-3.
3-on-3 with Kenny Shaq and Chuck and a beautiful... Beautiful up and under by Curtis Granderson.
That was nice.
Don't they do sudden death or shootouts in hockey?
No, this isn't soccer.
They did that, though.
Regular season. Just
playoffs, baby.
Playoffs. Playoffs, they'll go all night.
Man. That's tough. That's tough, man. 20 minutes.
Oh, I say, I showed, I was human last night. I fell asleep by accident during the game, second game. And it was a 9:30 start Eastern time. You know, the 40 games and 40 nights finally caught up to me. I was watching it in bed. Okay, that's always dangerous, as it is, but I've been doing okay with it. And so I fall asleep at some point early third quarter is what I can remember. And then I watched it, of course, this morning. But I woke up and I was watching on my phone, had slid somehow across the bed, and it was like under Nora's arm, but I had my AirPods in, so now I'm hearing like Ernie talking to Chuck, and I was really discombobulated, and then I'm like trying to get the phone, I wake her up, it was a shit show, so I'm human. What'd you do? Did you stay up and watch?
I'm a first half, second half man.
I mean, look, it's something is fun, as great it is watching it live, and especially if you're online and stuff like that. I don't mind knowing the score. And then watching it and seeing how it happens.
I just like it with the fresher eyes, too.
Yeah, you know? It's true.
I mean, my eyes are not fresh. I stay up for it, but my move is this. I'm on the couch, and like when it's getting late in the fourth quarter, I pull like a peace sign.
Wow.
Holding my head up. just so I can see what's going on. All right, commercial.
I've never seen your eyes open that
much. That's a great point.
Didn't you do something at the score, at the starters with that? You did something for some reason? I can't remember what it was. It was something freaky like that. That's right,
Yeah. Laura's always hating on me. She's like, when you're in your 60s, you're going to have that surgery to reduce your over-eye hang. Yeah. I might need to get it down because I don't know if this is cutting it.
Yeah.
Wow. Peace.
Well, good for you for fighting through it.
Playoff.
You know what? It's that third quarter stretch, right? Because if the game is tight in the fourth, then you get a little more energy.
Yeah, exactly,
you're like,
exactly.
Oh, hell yeah. But it's sometimes those timeouts there in the third quarter. And look, we had some reviews last night, too.
Yo review.
Oh, man. They're going overboard with this. But anyway, any other thoughts on this series here, Warriors Grizzlies. Again, they don't play until Saturday. It's just a weird scheduling quirk here. That's a lot of time off.
I think both teams are going to have to make a decision on a new starter. Because I think Dylan Brooks is suspended, and obviously Gary Payton II is not going to be playing anytime soon. So to me, it's an interesting decision from the Grizzlies' side. Do you go with a guy like Kyle Anderson? Because he's been in the starting lineup before. But you probably need some creativity with the ball handling. I know Zaire Williams was hot, but this is a rookie. I think D'Anthony Melton will probably get in there. He's been...
If Brooks is suspended,
awesome minutes.
I would agree. That would be
so
my play, too.
Good.
And then I would keep Williams coming off the bench. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's
you don't mess
perfect
with that.
Role. He played down the stretch, obviously. I mean, he was giving them... He was one of the guys that could actually hit shots, and he's active defensively. But I would be Melton, okay? And then on the other side...
Yeah, the other side, I think Kevon Looney has a good matchup with Xavier Tillman. And so I think that's who you'd bring in. But there's so many options. I think, Kevon Looney could just help with the Morant. And I think he may be able to help with the Warriors' wild shots at times, because he's kind of just like a slow you down, give him the ball, and run your splits, you know, run around him instead of having to dribble so much and go into the pick and roll, which worked, and they're getting into the lane on the Grizzlies. But he slows things down a little bit, and not in a bad way, because the Warriors just run around him. So it can help the shot selection. So, they have a billion options, but Looney's been good. Another guy I thought was Canadian for basically his entire career, maybe because his last name is Looney. I don't know. But there's a lot of Canadianness in this series. And Andrew Wiggins, man, I respect that guy. He can't hit a three. That's the weird thing.
He missed some wide open threes late. He had that one in the corner that if he hits, it's maybe a different game.
Yeah. So that's the weird thing about bringing Looney in, because then you're going to rely on Wiggins shooting more. So maybe bring in another guy who can shoot.
The one thing we didn't mention, too, it was all within the first 10 minutes of the game. After Dylan Brooks gets ejected, we had Draymond Green getting popped in the face and taking an elbow there, getting stitches, flipping the fans on his way out. So
that's $35,000, I think.
Coming for
like
that. Yeah. And then we had Steph Curry bleeding a little bit there, and that stopped the game for a little bit. So, yeah, this is going to be a dogfight. For the final five games. I love saying that.
Gonna be a dog
gonna fight. Gonna be a dog fight. Both of these series last night, I think they're gonna be dog fights. But not until Saturday, so you got some time to rest up there, Lele. Any other thoughts?
Mm-mm.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the Celtics tying up that series, and we've got another award given out in the NBA. Don't go anywhere.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Oh, there it is from the Starters Days. Very watchable play from a younger Trey Kirby.
Wow. Yeah.
Didn't realize I had such a squinty left eye.
Oh, it's really good.
This is messing with me, man.
Yeah, I know. Don't
I'm
look
not
at
meant
that
to have round eyes, I don't think.
Oh, what a pick. Good stuff.
Back in the Starters Days, one of my favorite insults I ever got on Twitter was somebody saying that my eyes look like piss holes in the snow.
That's a classic.
I was like, that's good, man. That's so good.
God. Ruthless, man. Wow. All right. Let's get into the Eastern Conference.
I remember
game last
that
night.
Insult like it was yesterday. Oh.
Yeah, that one's not been eating at me for the past 7 years at all.
Lili, get us started, man. Jaylen Brown scoring 30. Celtics beat the Bucks 109-86. They even this series up. Brown, you know, shaking off that dismal game one where we were like, this, what happened to him? What is wrong with him? He goes 9 for 10 in the first half, including 5 for 5 from deep, and again finishing with 30 was huge.
Is this game over? I'm not quite sure. It seemed to drag on and on and on and on and on. It was like a cricket match out there. Look, the recipe to beat Milwaukee is pretty obvious to everyone right now. It's like, if you can hit threes, that's the best way to do it. And that's what the Boston Celtics couldn't do in game one. And they absolutely could do it here in game two. Finished 20 for 43. 6 threes from Jaylen. You mentioned he got off to a red hot start. Grant Williams, who I thought was maybe the Celtics MVP of this game for his defense, he also hit 6 off the bench. And Tatum had 5 in his 29 points. And I thought this was really a clinical performance here from Boston on both ends. Straight up guarding Giannis by himself and did a really good job of that. It was that sort of Kevin Durant defense where it was kind of like, we know they want us to trap or to collapse here on Giannis and fire it out to those shooters. We don't want to do that, though, because that hurt us in game one. So Giannis had to go to work. He finished 11 for 27 from the field. And I just thought Boston did a really good job. He also had the 6 turnovers. Again, similar to what it was with Kevin Durant, like forcing him to fumble and not have control of the ball here. And then when guys did get shots, they just could not make them. Jrue Holiday finishes 1 for 6. They went 3 for 18 from downtown.
So say that again. 23s from the Celtics.
They made.
And then 3 made threes from the Bucks.
And they only
it's going to be tough to win a game.
They only took 18. I saw someone on Twitter saying, Budenholzer's teams have always taken a minimum of 22 threes in the playoffs. This was the lowest they've ever taken. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't verify it, but it certainly they were clanking them there last night. And they really didn't get a lot of support from anybody else in this game. I didn't think Jrue Holiday was all that good. Giannis had to do everything, but he was just out of sorts here. And the Celtics got off to a red-hot start. They held on to that lead as well. And then the second half, it was not a fun game to watch. There was so many reviews and slowdowns and things like that. And if you're the Celtics, you're like, come on, let's finish this game. We don't want to give them a chance here to, you know, recalibrate, get back together and maybe work on some things. They wanted to finish it off, and they did. Milwaukee made sort of runs, but Boston held firm. And this is going to be a great series now, I think, because I do believe Boston's like, Udoka's like, hit threes, guys. That's the key to beating Milwaukee right now.
Good coaching. Yeah. Hit your threes.
Yeah. To make
definitely helps. And the defense, I thought, especially to start the game, that was some of the best defense we've seen in the playoffs. Like the first 5 or 6 minutes, a lot of it on Giannis, like getting him 0 for 6 with turnovers. I think they were up 15-3 because, you know, they were hitting their shots on the other end. Something you had said to watch for, Tass, I remember, like heading into this game, stop attacking right at the rim. You can't score over Giannis and Brooke inside. Work in the mid-range game there. And their first two shots were jumpers. It was Jaylen Brown and then Horford. And then, of course, it extended to the three-point line. But I thought they actively were like... And it bogged down in the second half, don't get me wrong. Like, there was a chance for the Bucks to maybe make a game of this. But the Celtics, excuse me, were like, we can't score when we're right at the rim against this team. So we do have to, like, step it back a little bit. And Jaylen got them started.
Yeah, they scored only 24 points in the paint, the Celtics did, and the Bucks scored 54. You'd think, oh, the Bucks did all right in this game. But the Celtics know their recipe. They know they have to attack the lane.
Yes.
But then start moving it around. And the Celtics were doing a good job from first quarter to the fourth quarter. And I thought Jaylen Brown's first shot, it was a mid-ranger that hit front rim, backboard, then did a little toilet bowl and went in, and that allowed him to just flush game one. And now he's just thinking, all right, nice, baby, I'm nice, feeling good. Because it wasn't a pure shot at all, but right, then everything else was pure.
Right.
Then he started feeling, then he hit a three, and then Horford also hit a mid-ranger. It was 7-0. But the biggest change, it was on the defensive end. It's one of those things. It's like a different disposition. They just played tougher, harder, were back on every possession. Fast break points in the first game, 28-8 for the Bucks. It was 6-6 in this game.
Yeah.
This was a real playoff game. This was the real Celtics. The Celtics are who we thought they were. They were showing up like they did throughout the regular season, like they did against Kevin Durant in the first round. They just weren't ready in game one. They were getting back. But not only getting out to the three-point shooters, but also the Giannis defense, like, it really was pretty similar to game one, mm-hmm, to me. He's 9 of 23 from two-point range in game one, 10 of 23 in game two. So he's 41% inside the arc. 9 of 25 from the floor in game one, 11 of 27 in game two. They're just playing him hard. They need other guys to step up. And the Celtics doing a good job taking away those threes, as you guys have said. Only three made in game two.
Yeah, I think the defense was similar, but like the tiniest bit of we're not helping quite as much to not give up the open threes that the Bucks generated pretty easily in game one. You know, Giannis had 12 assists. 7 of those were for three-pointers. They barely got up 7 three-pointers last night. Only taking 18 is super impressive. So the Celtics did a really good job of like, we'll let Horford or Grant Williams take as many bumps as possible. You know, they did a great job of using their leverage, being a little bit smaller than Giannis and just being thick, strong guys, standing him up and making him take tough shots. And the help was there if they happened to get around either of the first defenders, mm-hmm, but they weren't coming for the double team right away, which is when Giannis would see that, whip it out to Connaughton or whoever in game one. That wasn't there. You know, they were just maybe one step closer to the three-point shooters, and that certainly matters. I thought that was such an impressive counterpunch mm-hmm, from the Celtics. They were as good in game two as the Bucks were in game one. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, this is all even as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, it is 1-1, but both, it wasn't, you know, the Bucks smacked them in game one. The Celtics smacked them right back in game two. So really, really cool. And yeah, Grant Williams, what a game from this guy. I mean, playing both ways was super impressive. They're not going to ever start him because they like the Robert Williams Horford front court there, but being able to have three guys who can actually contribute defensively against Giannis, that's big time.
This guy is like a supersized Kyle Lowry to me, like just defensively. I mean, he is stout. And most guys, when Giannis drops the elbow into, they're bouncing back 3 feet, and Grant doesn't even budge. And drew a couple offensive fouls. There could have been maybe a couple others called. Just an incredible job. You called him the MVP, and Trey agrees with you, it sounds like. Yeah,
I think so, just because he's like a big, heavy dude that Giannis tries to back down, and he stands. He's got long arms as well. He did a good job also on Kevin Durant. He's coming off the bench, so that's the thing. If Horford and Robert Williams are having any trouble there with Giannis, you've got a guy like that on your bench to come in. It's huge. And talking about Giannis as well with the assists, of the 7 that went to threes, 0 went to threes in this one. Yeah. So clearly, I think Udoka was like, you know, whatever we're doing, just make sure those guys aren't getting those open looks. So, pretty fascinating series. I think I did have the Celtics in 6. Don't really know how I feel, to be honest, right now, whether it's I feel good about that or bad. I still think it tilts Giannis' way because they've stolen home court here, but it should be a close one.
I will say, I thought in the third quarter, when the Celtics did slow down offensively, the ball wasn't moving around as much, and it was like, Giannis was like, I'm going to give it a good 8 minutes here and see if we can make this a game, and he was just relentless. I mean, the guy, for his size, his conditioning is sort of wild, and even I'll say, he was looking tired.
Yeah.
In fact, he was, because remember he scored once, he wanted a foul call, and he like held on to the ball, and he got the delay of game, but it was like because he was just exhausted. He's like, I could use another 20 seconds here, but like, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, even if you were a Celtics fan last night, you're up huge. It's like, they got Giannis. They could still get back in this game. And, like, they got it to, like, 15.
Yeah.
And there was, like, I forget if it was like, just, like, it's one of these small plays that probably doesn't mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. But it was, like, an offensive rebound or something. It was like, oh, no, they got to stop. Brooke Lopez blocked Jaylen Brown, and then the ball squirted out to, like, Grant Williams, who hit a three. And it was like, oh, you know, it was, like, one of those. It was, like, 15. You know, you get the big stop. Big block from Brook. Maybe you score on the other end and you're almost at like double digits or close to it, and instead it hits a three, and it was like that type of night. Like just the rain of threes, and Grant Williams hitting 6 of them was huge. He always had a timely one.
I think this speaks to Giannis not having that Chris Middleton guy in this one. Because I think
last night, for sure.
Yeah, he started the game. A ball was going through him. He started with he's doing his Giannis stuff and getting to the lane a little bit. But I think he was taking a couple jumpers, took that three on the first possession, was comfortable getting on the block and then turning towards the baseline and shooting that little fadeaway because he knows he has to be that monster in game and quarter number three and quarter number four. So it would have helped if Drew had a better game and Bobby wasn't the same. But, the Celtics defense was able to take everybody out. So, yes, this is a lot on Giannis. It started to look like, game six of the finals there for a bit where he was, having to do a lot. So they're going to need guys to step up a little bit. That's the worrisome part. It's just the ability to create off the bounce. I think if the Celtics are playing like this, that's the worrisome part for the Bucks.
And they did it all without Marcus Smart. He's going to be back for game three.
Yeah, Derek a little White, shocked by that.
Yeah, Derek White came in, didn't really score the ball. He wasn't terrible, but they basically only played seven guys last night with Peyton Pritchard coming out there, as well as Grant Williams. So Udoka, if they get Smart back, that's huge, and that will be important for them.
Right, and they have the same schedule, right, as that Warriors-Grizzlies game. They don't play until Saturday, so there is a lot of time for maybe some of these guys to heal up. What do you think about the Celtics' ball movement there in the first half, too? There was like three very solid play nominees.
Yeah, I know, they were coming in through. I think
can't
even
believe
Chiefs,
you weren't clipping them.
Nah, Chiefs even was sending one through there to me. But that's the thing. That's,
Chiefs?
I know, Chiefs.
Like the one that ended in the Horford layup. Yeah. I was like, you just had a cum dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, not quite, but... that was not there in game one with the Celtics. That ball just zipping around like that. And that creates open looks and it creates easier baskets. And Bucks weren't ready for it. So
I thought Tatum had an interesting point about the ball movement. He said, I think it's all about pass and relocate. You don't want to just pass and stay in one spot, which I think they were doing a lot more in game one. Definitely they were like passing in this one and then moving. I know it resulted in a Tatum three there at one
couple
point. I think they pointed it out on the broadcast. So they were all over that one. Stan Van. Though Stan Van kept bringing up the whole, they're hitting a lot of threes, but the Bucks are doing work inside. And over the course of a series, that might favor Milwaukee. He might be right, but
making 23s every game is tough, but it feels like if you're hot for a game, you stay hot for a game for the most part. And I don't know, it just was tilted, no doubt, in the Celtics' favor last night. Drew Holiday needs to, I think we need to see some more screen and roll with Drew and Giannis, because they also, that does a couple of things. One, it makes you worry more about Giannis,
which
makes it easier for Drew Holiday to attack the lane. Number two, it gets Giannis moving with the ball, which is huge because when he's playing downhill, even Horford, even Grant Williams, Rob Williams, they're not really going to be able to contest him there. But if it's a post-up, they're able to gear up for that, right? Like, take some bumps. It's a very static sort of thing. So I would like to see a little pick and roll action from those two. And I would like to see Brook Lopez get a lot more shots. The guy took two shots last night.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
But he scored 25 points in two shots. If you saw the TNT graphic.
Yes, of course.
That accidentally put points instead of minutes.
Yeah. But he didn't get a three-pointer up, which is strange. That's more credit to the Celtics. They need to get him some three-point attempts, but also he can score in the post. Remember what he did against Atlanta last year when Giannis was out? He had a 30-point game. That's another way that they can sop up some possessions and get something easy, maybe.
Yeah, they're going to be using that Drew-Giannis pick and roll for sure. They have to because they used it with Wesley Matthews and Giannis on the move. That's how Wesley got a little floater, baby, and then he got to the free throw line too for a couple. He had as many buckets as Brook Lopez, which I agree is something we got to see. Got to see Brooke.
Yeah.
The guy can score for sure.
I was so happy to see Jaylen Brown bounce back because I said it on the show here. I couldn't remember a game where he'd played so poorly in game one, just in terms of just sloppy handle and all those. That's how they scored a lot of those fast break points
in
game one. It was like him just turning it over with very little pressure. He couldn't score, obviously, in game one. There was the concern about the injury, and I guess he just got there a couple hours early and put in the work, got his mind right, got his body right, and then he saw that one bounce in, and then he was on fire. And then, and he dropped, we didn't bring that up, Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen, yes, which World Wide Wob tweeted saying how in our broken world, we can all come together and enjoy Grayson Allen being dropped. Now back to regular life.
Right. It appeared to be a clean drop in the sense that he didn't step on his foot. Because a lot of these, it's like the offensive player accidentally steps on the defender's foot, then they fall over. Not the case here. That was Grayson just slipping and tumbling over his own feet.
Slipping and dipping.
Yeah. Great non-call. I thought that could have been called a charge just because they came into contact. I thought the bodies came into contact. Oh. Anyways,
God, I hope
I, you know, you got to talk about the video reviews. I think they got off, they got off to a bad start. I was lucky. I went out for Persian last night.
Oh, where'd you go?
Close to me. It's called the Persian Basket.
Ooh, yeah.
Good?
God, yeah.
I'm going to have Persian on Friday. Del Bar here.
Okay.
In Atlanta, yeah.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Persian food's always good.
So good.
It is great.
Just rocks my world every time. I was stuffed, but I
so were you playing catch up in the game?
Yeah, I was also falling asleep during the first game because I ate so much.
Oh, no.
But that was fine. I was playing catch up. I was able to video review. I just couldn't believe how long each video review was taking.
30-second click. 30-second click. You're like, what? They're still looking at it? 30-second click. Yeah, it's crazy.
They made the mistake of reviewing that first Bobby Portis one, which Bobby got in the air. Because he was pump faked and he just fell over whoever it was.
I think it was Grant Williams. Yes.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
And they gave him a flagrant one, and Bobby was showing his eye. I got hit. I got hit in the eye. And then you do that once, and I feel like if you're the referees, you just feel like I got to review this.
They set the precedent with the first one. They're like, now we have to look at everything. And it was like, I mean, I actually thought it was going to help out the Bucks as the game went on. All these reviews, I'm like. It's just taking the air out of the building. You know, it's a great home crowd. It's like it's just like here goes another 4 minutes of nothing. While they just look at these, and in the end, they just always had an answer. They always had a shot, even when they like again. The Celtics did not have a great second half offensively. You know, really offensively. And Giannis was like starting to get unlocked a little bit. He just keeps coming and coming and coming. It's got to be exhausting, but. They always just, you know, kept them at bay, always hitting a big three. What are you laughing about? See the fly somewhere?
Yeah, the fly hit my eyebrow. I was like, my eyebrow.
I saw you behind
Lee already. I was like, how did that happen?
He's definitely trying to get screen
time. This fly is gigantic, too. This fly has a family and like a mortgage. And,
He wasn't here during the commercial. Now he's back. Yeah, we see.
Well, he's today's sixth man of the day, which brings us to our next topic.
Oh geez. Well, I had a couple more notes. That was really good.
I
have the most insane note that I have to get off my chest because I tweeted it. Did you guys see this? And I'm not making it up, right? So Inside Tracks last night.
What a note.
Spelled T-R-A-C-K-S. And I was like, what? My whole life, I thought it was Inside Tracks with an X. And then I started worrying. I was having some, like, what is it? The Berenstain Bears? You know what I mean? I was like, what? Hold on. Is this a Mandela effect here going on? And Mandela. That's my Mandela effect. Everybody's been actually saying a Mandela effect. But, you know, I had people confirming our guy Graydon being one of them. It's like, yeah, it was Inside Tracks. So what's going on here? Here's the best bet. Kia's got their car paws and everything with the NBA, right? Every one of these awards, Kia's all over it. Have they said, you know, well, that's a Chevy product. You know me, and I was a Trax, or I am a Trax guy.
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
Well, you got to change now.
I got to spell the... No, it's a Chevy Trax. So has Kia come in and said, Lee... You can't spell it Trax. People are thinking that guy Skeets on that podcast is always talking about the Trax. That's a Chevy product. We're Kia here. We're Team Kia. Get rid of that. Go back to the normal spelling for Trax. Mm. That's my conspiracy theory.
Problem is, this is creating the reverse promotion now for the Trax because we're talking about.
Oh, you're right.
You know, so
they should have left it alone.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't say anything about it. So then you don't get people buzzing about, oh, what's the Trax? And then they go to Chevy instead of Kia.
Yeah. Anyway, crazy.
Wild stuff.
Also would love to know, because Dr. Grant Williams was mic'd up last night. Is there any correlation between a guy mic'd up and how well he plays in a game?
Well, Desmond Bain was also mic'd up.
Mm.
Oh.
Damn. Mm. I there may be none.
No.
But I'd like somebody to do the research. Shoot, if you could get on that, that would be great. And my final note. Am I making this up too? Was there not a point in the NBA where you were told on the bench... Like, if you were a bench guy, that you could not stand up. Like, you were supposed to be, like, sort of sitting down. Obviously, like, you could stand up on a big dunk and stuff like that. But, like, while gameplay was going, you were supposed to be sitting. That was a thing.
As a player or a non-player?
A bench player.
There was an incident a few years ago where the league had to send a memorandum.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But there was a crackdown. Something happened.
I only bring it up because Thanasis is never sitting down.
He can't.
Never.
It's not in his blood.
And I was just thinking about that. Like, yeah, what happened to that? I remember that used to be a thing.
Something
like,
happened.
It may have been possibly after the Steve Nash, you know, the Spurs Suns things.
Oh, way back. I think it was more recent.
No, I don't think it was that long ago either. But okay, so I'm not making this up in my head either.
Something happened.
What used to be tracks with an X, and this used to be a thing.
I can see it. Just like you can see the inside tracks, I can see it on the starters. We were talking about it several times. I felt like it happened multiple times in the same season, but
well, if you know, like, it's gone I just now. Noticed like these got and man, Every, I would be doing it. They're do always it. Up, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I'm always thinking, like, man, that poor sucker that paid for those seats, like, you know, three rows back. You're not seeing a damn thing. A bunch of NBA guys standing up the entire game.
They ain't poor, I'll tell you that. If they're sitting front row,
you know what I mean.
But I hear you.
But hey, remember when we went to a Bills game once and we got first row seats?
Oh, you don't get first row.
And we thought, well, I didn't know. Nobody told me. I was like, oh, first row seats at a football game. Jeez, look at us. They were a pretty good price. I was like, yeah. Well, no wonder they were a good price. You couldn't see shit. You could literally see anything because all of the guys on the sidelines and all the coach, like, they're standing the entire time. You're too low.
Yeah. Football, you need to be up high.
Yeah.
Hockey, too, actually. 900 people on a football sideline, too, for whatever
hockey
reason.
I think so, yeah.
You see the whole ice. You like that?
Yeah, I think that's better, yeah, for my hockey games. I got close once. Not sort of banging on the ice.
Yeah, you want me slapping the glass?
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to do that. Don't get me wrong. In terms of watching a game, I think you're better up high.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any luck there with the research tray? That may have been a tough one. No.
No, that's not a tough one, but I didn't really know what to Google.
Yeah.
No celebrating on the bench memo.
Standing up. I could have sworn there was something, but let us know in the stream team. Okay, let's get to the news there yesterday. Miami Heat guard Tyler Hero named the 21-22 Sixth Man of the Year. I guess I should say Kia Sixth Man of the Year, but that's okay, for his contributions in a reserve role. Hero received 96 first place votes, if you want to throw that up, JD, from your 100 global panel of sports writers and broadcasters. So 96 out of 100. Kevin Love coming in second there with 3 first place votes, and then Cam Johnson with the Suns getting 1 first place vote and ultimately coming in third. And you see the rest of the names there. No real surprise, Trey, that Hero walks away with this one, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely no surprise. Nice job by the dweebs, I would say,
good job,
for this
dweebs.
One, because Hero deserved it, and I think he deserved a blowout win. But also, I like that it's not completely unanimous. Those 3 votes for Kevin Love, 1 for Cam Johnson, sounds about right to me. Like, you can generate another pitch for those guys.
Sure,
like, John Hollinger did it. Says, it's not all about points. Give Kevin Love some love.
Right.
He got 3 votes. That's about right. And Cam Johnson kind of gets the honorary vote, I feel like.
Yep.
For the Suns, you had a great bench. Cam, you were probably the number one Cam off the bench this season, so you get a vote. Did you guys see the presentation?
I did.
Udonis Haslam giving the award to Tyler Hero. No pranks allowed.
No.
In Heat culture is what I took from that. This was like a 10 of 10 from a family perspective, I thought. Udonis Haslam explaining the NBA is saying you can be a star in any role. Love to hear that.
Yeah. Haslam was awesome.
He was awesome.
You're like, you'd run through a wall for
that. He's like, and you know, being a new father, you did a lot of great stuff this year. I was like, man, this sounds like a dad who is proud of his son.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was very funny that we saw when Desmond Bane was hiding his trophy, or was hiding John Morant's trophy, giving him the most improved player. He was very, very conscious to not get his fingerprints on it.
Right.
Not so much with Udonis Haslam. He's like just grabbing this thing, hands it over, fingerprints everywhere. They're passing it around. All the Heat are like, man, this is awesome to see. We don't have a Sixth Man of the Year trophy yet.
Yeah,
they're
they
like
did
so
say that
excited to
times.
Finally get like the last piece of hardware in their trophy case. So I thought it was pretty cool. And congrats to Hero. He definitely deserved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a very solid season across the board, like his terms of rebounds, assists as well. He wasn't just out there like, you know, no disrespect to a Jordan Clarkson, but just like firing away. He did other things.
21-5-4 were his stats on the season.
Really good shooting percentages as well there for him. So, you know, he's already shown us in the playoffs, in the bubble there, he's going to be a superstar in this league. Certainly out of, you know, if there was any debate with him and Duncan Robinson, the Heat would move on from Robinson. They'll keep Hero. But I am very happy to see Kevin Love get some love because he was great.
Mm-hmm.
He really embraced that role in Cleveland and was huge to their success. They obviously just missed out, but him coming out on, from what we saw last season where it looked like he was kind of pouting his way out, instead he really showed those youngsters how to play and was huge. So it's good to see him get that runner-up vote.
Do you guys want some trivia?
Of course.
Yeah.
You may know the answer if you did a deep dive on the press release, but Hero is the 5th player to average at least 20 points off the bench, having played a minimum of 50 games since this has been really tracked since 70-71. So, can you name the four other players that have averaged 20 points off the bench in minimum 50 games
played? Ricky Pierce.
Ricky Pierce did it twice. Nice.
Jamal.
Sweet Lou Williams.
Jamal Crawford.
Did not. Mm. Yeah.
Eddie?
Did not. But Lou Williams also did it twice.
Mr. Jump Shot.
Eddie Johnson. Yeah. Great pull.
Yeah.
This was going to be the tough
Very
one.
Nice.
You know the name? I think he's in the broadcast game. Pretty sure he is.
You know the name? He might be in the broadcast
game. Don't quote me on whether
nationally
he is.
Nationally or locally?
No, locally. Okay. Locally. Okay. A Western Conference team. I think he might be in like the studio. I can't.
Oh. Rockets Man.
No, not Rockets Man. Not Rockets Man.
Calvin Murphy.
Yeah.
No, not Calvin.
Not sweet dressing Calvin.
This guy's got a great first name when I really stop and think about it. Like, I don't know any. Well, there's definitely never been another NBA player with this name. It's almost like if he was a baseball player and he was a pitcher, mm-hmm. it'd be a great nickname for a pitcher.
His first name.
Yeah, because he'd be like...
Slider McGillicuddy.
Right, like...
someone's throwing pitching.
Knuckly Davis.
Here you go. What do you do when you throw a baseball?
No. Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck.
No.
Thurl Bailey?
Thurl Bailey! You're hurling it.
Thurl. Wow. Yeah, he's been... He's sometimes on the broadcast, but I think he's primarily in the studio.
Studio, right?
Yeah. I don't think the harp's on the jazz calls.
Anymore?
Don't remember, no. Oh,
okay. Thought he was. Anyway, Thurl Bailey, Eddie Johnson, Ricky Pierce twice, Lou Williams, sweet Lou Williams twice, and now Tyler Hero, 20 points off the bench. That is pretty impressive.
I bet John Hollinger is pretty happy with his pick for Kevin Love, because I bet LeBron James would say, you know what? That's a good pick, dweeb. Good pick. Because three people picked Kevin Love, although I can't get behind that. I don't mind the Cameron Payne idea. Best bench, best player, because that's pretty important. The people who are sort of anti-Tyler Hero are, the guy's basically a starter.
Right, right.
He plays so much. But, you know, that Cameron Payne reasoning, I think, makes sense. The Kevin Love, not so much. I'm not with the Athletics' John Hollinger on that one.
Also, I think I figured out what's going on with the awards. Okay, you brought it up, Trey.
I didn't know there's something up.
Well, we thought, what the hell? Why are they going away from all the cool looking awards? Yeah. What's going on? Why are they all the same now? This thing. I read in the press release, because I'm a true sicko, Hero will be presented with a special edition 75th anniversary commemorative trophy today in celebration of the honor. Okay, gifted for the NBA Sixth Man of Trophy. Gifted that one in addition to the Kia NBA Sixth Man of the Year Award Trophy, which he will receive later. So what I'm getting at here is I think this is just a NBA 75...
The ball.
This is just an additional... Sort of weird when you think about it, but I think the trophies are here still. That's my point.
Yes, and I've got a scoop.
All right.
It's confirmed it's Nikola Jokic.
You got a scoop?
Because why is he at a Colorado Avalanche game and not back in... Serbia.
He loves the great game of hockey.
They've said to him, hang around, we've got the MVP trophy for you.
Okay.
Remember last year, he was out the door in 2 seconds.
That's a good point. He was gone.
Back to the horses.
Yeah. So they said, you're just going to have to hang around.
Okay. Well, that's a couple scoops for you there, right there. I'm pretty confident that the actual awards are still here and that this is just a 75th anniversary thing. And that line really sold it for me. And then you're saying Jokic is winning MVP. Okay.
Lock it in.
Okay.
It's not that bold, but... I mean,
no, I like it. Maybe they'll present him the award at an Avalanche. Why not?
Well, yeah.
Same owners, right? Like team owners, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Remember, Ja Morant like snuck his award into Desmond Bane's house.
Yep.
And we're like, why is it in this gigantic box? The ball only seems to be, you know, mini ball size or something like that. Maybe the other trophy's in there, like the actual most improved trophy. They get the commemorative ball. Which, I don't know, maybe that's why the Heat were so excited to be looking at it. Like, I've never seen one of those yet. Pass it around.
But
crazy.
I think they're just trying to streamline it. So everything looks like a ball. As well, I say that because the division winners now get ball trophies as well.
Oh, my God.
This is new.
But is this just the 75th anniversary thing?
No.
Oh.
They're doing it in concert of celebrating African-American pioneers. Nat Clift and Wayne Embry, Earl Lloyd. Willis Reed, Sam Jones, and Chuck Cooper all have division trophies named after them, and they're all balls.
Okay,
so this came out. Yeah, these are nice balls. So I think we're just going balls.
All right. Well, I think
across the NBA.
Maybe I'm wrong then. I don't know that line.
Division trophies. There's a division trophy, and the balls are slightly different.
Gifted in addition to the Kia NBA Sixth Man of the Year Award trophy, which he will receive later. That's what's in the press release from the NBA. So that to me says, here's your 75th anniversary crystal ball. We've been doing it for everybody.
Yeah.
But don't worry, the trophy, you're getting the actual trophy too, and it's still around, hopefully.
I love it.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's good.
Double trophies.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got the inside tracks on that.
Let's take our final break. When we come back, JD with Tweet of the Night, and we'll look ahead to tonight's games. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, back in the Classic Factory, we still have not caught the fly.
No.
We'll get it. We'll get it. We got a good 5 minutes here before the show is done to try and secure it. So, JD, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter. Yeah, Tweet of the Night. I have it on a Wednesday for some reason. When am I supposed to have it, Lee?
JD, you got to be ready, man. You got to, it's sometimes people are in and out, so it sort of changes around. You got to keep you on your toes.
Okay,
fair. It doesn't really matter, though, does it? I mean,
no, it doesn't, actually. It doesn't.
Your approach doesn't change, does it?
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, that's a fair point. So, Tweet of the Night, it's Star Wars Day. Sorry, Trey.
Okay. I'm a supportive ally for those who celebrate.
Thanks very much. So I saw this in Rex Chapman, friend of the show. Friend of mine. He follows me. I didn't even know that. But
cool.
Barack Obama, Gordon Ramsay, Rex Chapman.
Damn.
Top three. Pretty cool.
Gordon Ramsay.
Drop cool. Some names, bro.
Yeah, right? Why does Gordon Ramsay follow me? That's like...
Has he got like... Industry.
Lee's jealous.
Well, no. I am a little...
Tweeter. Yeah, he's jealous.
I want to see if he follows like 15,000 though or something. 33,000. Not that impressive.
Oh, Jesus. How are you doing?
Wow, man.
Wow. That's harsh, man.
I think Obama's like 400,000.
Oh, yeah.
I am still jealous of that one, though.
Yeah, does he follow you?
No. I've tried to get him to. I've DM'd him all the time.
I've tried to get him to.
It's the trick is never to communicate and never tweet, really. And that's how you...
That's what he likes. Because then they can't get in trouble, like, that's especially right. Like a power position,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. A super neutral. Okay, so... it comes from by way of Rex Chapman, and it's basically this press release that Flea, one of my
man,
favorites.
Would you stop giving us Flea tweets?
Well, I follow Rex Chapman and Flea, basically. Flea will reportedly be in Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is coming out in about 3 weeks. Trailer dropping today.
Look at the photo for Flea.
I know, right? So anyway,
that's excited. Coming out in 3 weeks or
the trailer drops today, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And then there will be a and then the show comes out in 3 weeks.
Wow.
I guess Moon Knight is probably ending, so when's that ending?
It's like one more episode.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I gotta tie that shit up, man.
I think it's only 6 episodes. I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Do you want something stupid? Or...
Wait, hold on. Why do you have to finish Moon Knight to watch Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, I don't know, because I don't want to have two prestige series going at once. I don't know.
Hey, Ozarks is back.
I've never watched that.
Oh.
Is it good?
It's...
Netflix good.
It's good. It's good. Netflix good is a good way to put it.
Okay.
I think you'd like it.
All right.
Okay.
I'll watch it eventually. One thing, though. One request, Star Wars, Disney, whoever. Let's make Flea recognizable. You know, let's not do a Colin Farrell in the Batman.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, I want to see Flea. And Flea, You may remember Flea in his many roles. Needles.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Classic.
Yep.
That's it, really?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I didn't know he was in anything else.
No. His IMDb page is actually... he's in Baby Driver.
Is he? Okay. Oh, I thought he is. I think there's a... Yes, he is in Baby Driver.
Wow, you're right. I forgot that.
Was he... Hold on.
Why do I think he's in the Big Lebowski, but...
He is in the
Big Lebowski. Yeah,
okay, that's the big one for me.
He's a nihilist.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Is he wearing a chain in that photo that says Melody on it? It's one of those chains that, people usually have their names on it. That says Melody across it. Is that what it says?
Yeah, I think so. Is that his daughter's name?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, right, anyway, he wasn't in a
just wear the chain, then you'll recognize him. Let him wear the chain.
Yeah, anyway, he's going to be great. Apparently, he has the only piece of information I have is that he's got a really cool blaster. That's it. That's all. That was in the article that was in that link there.
All right.
To StarWarsNewsNet.com.
Melody's his wife.
Okay.
There it is.
There you go.
How do you...
Well, why not a tattoo, Flea?
Yeah. Well, it's his second wife, so that's probably why.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
He's got Harmony tattooed on his buttocks. Yeah.
Respect. Anything else, JD?
I had something sort of stupid, but let's
come on.
Let's
why not? We're going to catch
a
fly
stupid
still.
Stuff, yeah. All right. It hasn't come back around. I'm going to smack it.
This is also from Rex. I kind of went deep. This guy tweets a lot.
Rex Chapman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's like his thing, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I remember when the longest time I was like, when his account was getting bigger and bigger, I was like, there's no way this is actually Rex Chapman. I just like remember then when I found out it was really him, I thought that was just so strange.
He got a show from it, basically.
Yeah.
But that, that was CNN Plus, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, but...
No, I'm just saying.
It's not his fault.
No, I didn't say it was. I'm just saying that...
Okay, well, anyway.
You got some recordings out of it.
Yeah. They'll come out on something, I would imagine.
Okay, what's the tweet?
Okay, well, anyways, it's stupid, but he loves these, pick three of these, ice creams or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So the last one that he tweeted, I think, was this one.
Oh, my God.
You can have three of the most goodable people, whatever that is, on this list. Who do you choose? Now, there's Dolly Parton, Ryan Reynolds, Kermit the Frog, Benedict Cumberbatch, Shaq. Who's that? Hermione?
Yeah,
Emma Watson. Keanu Reeves. What is that?
Angelina.
Angelina. Yeah. We got Swifty. We got Mr. Rogers. LeVar Burton. Jean-Luc Picard. What's his real name?
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Robin Williams. Tom Hanks, Big Bird, and Betty.
A couple of these people are no longer with us.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah. But it's blue skying it. Who do you choose? Rex chose Dolly Parton, LeVar Burton, and Robin Williams. And just wanted to throw it out to you guys. Who you got? Who you bringing to this fictional dinner party?
Robin Williams would be a lot at a dinner.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah, you're right.
A little too much, I think.
Yeah. It's one-on-one, I think.
What?
Just you.
Choose your own
just
dinner guest. I guess.
So it's you plus three people.
Yeah.
Three people.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying he would still be a lot in that scenario.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lee. Who are you taking?
Well, definitely Robin Williams.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Mrs. Delphire.
Mrs. Delphire. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
He would have. I mean, I admit at the end of the night, you'd be like, whew,
holy
what a night.
Crap. What is...
But the start of the night, you'd be like, this is unreal.
You just have to be in the right mind frame for it.
Yeah. Betty White for me, for sure.
Any other old lady?
Yeah.
Dolly? You want Dolly Parton?
Dolly? No, I don't think I'll go with Dolly.
Wow.
It's a tough one. Tom Hanks, maybe. I could have a few. I'd have a few questions for him, I suppose, about Forrest Gump and Castaway and a couple of those big. Yeah, okay, give me Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
Robin, Tom, and Betty White.
Great. Anyone else?
My number one draft choice is Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
He's number one on my draft board. Other than that, I would be happy with anybody except for Kermit the Frog.
Oh, I was going to say, give me Kermit, Big Bird.
Yeah, I want humans. I'm going humans here.
I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, I'm taking...
I like Dolly. I like Dolly
for sure.
Dolly's good. Yeah,
Dolly's a lock. Dolly. I think the top three there for me, Dolly, Reynolds, and Kermit the Frog. Yeah.
Wow.
Reynolds.
Maybe LeVar, actually, for the Star
Trek. I was going to say Dolly LeVar from Rex as the first two picks. So it's pretty strong.
It's pretty good, pretty solid.
Yeah. Reynolds is a dark horse pick. I think he would. He would produce. He would produce.
I think so. I think he's
leave him on the board. Catch him in the third round.
Yeah, you're right. I would go Mr. Rogers as well, and I'm going an all vaccine / coronavirus 2-3 because if you remember, Tom Hanks one of the first celebrities, and also Dolly Parton came out with a hit vaccine.
I guess she also donated like $1 million towards vaccine.
And she actually said
some truth to your.
I think she's going into the Hall of Fame, isn't she?
She is.
But she's not
against
accepting.
Her will.
Look. Oh, here's the real.
She's not accepting.
That's right.
Here's
not
the real
accepting.
Question that Trey already answered. Who do you not want to have dinner with on that goodable
Keanu?
really?
Well, what am I going to say to Keanu?
Doesn't know his movies.
I do. Speed. Overrated.
Speed? Overrated? Oh, yes. First R-rated movie I ever saw.
Was it?
My dad regrets it to this day.
Wow.
Why would he regret it? What happened?
Because that's an R rating, man. Like, my dad told me to watch Jack Reacher recently.
Yes.
I was like, okay. Okay,
the
dad.
Show?
Sounds like, yeah, Reacher, I guess, is what it's technically called. I finished the whole thing. He'd messaged me. He's like, I just want to apologize for introducing you to Reacher. my dad's a conservative kind of guy.
Yeah,
you know
fair
what I'm
enough.
Saying? You show a boobie on the screen.
Oh, yeah, that's happening in Reacher.
Man, I keep spoiling.
Oh, there's a there is a shower scene.
First Hawkeye, now Reacher. I'm giving away all the secrets here.
Wow. What'd you think of Reacher?
I wish my dad would have never told me that. No, it was fine. It was fine. I thought it was. I actually binged through it pretty quickly. Just happened to hit at the right time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm not giving it a full-throated recommendation.
No.
Don't get me twisted.
It's the cool guy porn. You know what I mean? It's just kinda. Like just watching a guy be cool.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, no wonder dads love this. This is a great show for dads.
So it's like the Bourne identity movie?
Kind of. It's like the guy. There is a scene that this happens in the movie Reacher where it's just like. He's telling a dude what's going to happen.
Classic.
Like, you're gonna try to punch me. I'm gonna put you in a headlock. Right. The cops are gonna arrive, and you're gonna get arrested or something like that.
And
it's exactly happens, and you're like, "Yes, we did it, Reacher.
Did it."
So yeah,
all the women love him. All the men want to be him, and he's nice to dogs.
Oh, well,
yeah, perfect for
loves
dads.
Dogs. Spoiler alert:
every Jack's gotta have a dog. Every man, Jack.
Okay, Reacher. That's
all right. Tonight's game, Sixers Heat, Mavs Suns. Any thoughts going into these two game twos tonight, guys? Obviously, Miami and Phoenix taking care of business at home in the first two. Who's more likely, Lee, to tie this series up tonight? That's my question for you.
Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you say it?
I don't really think the Sixers showed enough in the first game to convince me that...
A little more DeAndre Jordan, baby.
Well, that's right. DeAndre Jordan starting again. But no, Luka, I mean, he's 45. He was great. But the Mavs have to get off to a better start. I just think if they can get some threes falling, that's their better chance. They're a very good team, whereas the Sixers without Joel Embiid have got an enormous hole they can't fill. And I think Miami just knows that Joel may come back for game three. They don't want to be a 1-1. They want to be like, let's take advantage of this advantage we have right now.
What do you guys think? Anything about these games tonight?
Yeah, I just can't stop thinking about the lineup for the Philadelphia 76ers. They got to get away from it, but they won't. But that's when they lose their game. That's when, hopefully for Doc, something happens where DeAndre Jordan gets in foul trouble because they're better off without him. They really are. They've got other better players. I want George Niang out there banging home threes. 0-7 in game one.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
And your thoughts going into tonight's
games? Sixers got to make some threes if they're going to have a chance. I'm with Lee, though. I think the Mavs have a better chance against the Suns than the Sixers do against the Heat without Embiid. It would be nice to see James Harden have a game like he had game six against the Raptors where he looked a little bit like James Harden. I saw J.J. Redick was on ESPN this week saying, we shouldn't expect this from Harden. He's a facilitator at this point, which I kind of think is true, but that's not what the Sixers need right now, and not what they traded for. They didn't trade for the Chris Paul experience where you just kind of get everybody involved and then not take over in the fourth quarter. That's the difference between Harden and Chris Paul at this stage in their career. You know that Chris Paul can get a bucket when he needs to.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be the case with Harden right now, but if he has a better game tonight, maybe we're talking a little bit differently.
We will see. Those two games on tonight. We'll be back tomorrow here in the Classic Factory to break them all down live at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Obviously, flip it into a podcast as soon as humanly possible after that. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Hitting the beach later this week. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok at No Dunks Inc. And get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. All right. Fun show. We didn't catch the fly,
it's
but
right
hey.
Right there, man.
Go
it
get
is.
It.
No, it's go in the light. It. I can see it in the light, which makes me a little hesitant.
Yeah, don't break that. All right. Good luck. Tries to get our fly.
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah,
JD, get him. That's all right. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys.
Oh! Good smack attempt. We didn't get it, but good smack attempt.
Thought I had him. Thought I had it.
Is he alive?
He's behind us.
Yeah, he's alive.
He's behind us.
He slipped away, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Thanks for joining us. And remember.
The hands, though.
What?
That's what the dads do with a big smack of the hands like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what dads do.
He looked like a dad up there.
Yeah, we can just say bye.
All right. Embrace the day, people. Embrace the day.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.